2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Jesse, go Psalm 8, chapter 1. Why don't you find that? Crystal, why don't you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31? And let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Sister Kathy, let's do that. And let's go to Job chapter 40, verse 10. Janie. That's probably good. Who's got 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7? You're going to have to scream that out. Do you have this audience thing on, Jesse, so we can hear these scriptures? Why don't you shout that out like a preacher woman? Go on.
Okay. However, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves.
Okay, and somebody else give it to me out of a non-amplified. That was good, but give it to me out of non-amplified. Brother Ralph Joy, go on.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves.
Wow, isn't that good? Mm-hmm. Does anybody have King James? Jesus spoke it. We should know. Paul preached it. Amen. Jesus preached in it. No, yeah. Right. People think that. But go on, Rex. King James bumper you.
So we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all surpassing power is from God. From God and not from us. We are hard pressed and on every side.
We didn't ask to go that far. Amen. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the what?
Excellency.
That the what?
Excellency.
Everybody write that word down. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency, so I say excellency, of the power may be of God and not of us. So I say the excellency of the power of God. My goodness. Who else has got a verse for us to read? Sister Janie, why don't you read for us?
Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty.
Wow. Who else? What was that?
Job 40, 10.
And what kind of Bible do you have, sister?
James.
Read it again for me.
Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty.
Praise God. Who else has got a verse for me? Read, Jesse.
O Jehovah, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you have ordained strength because of your vectors to cause the enemy and the avenger to cease.
Who's got that in King James for me? Why don't you read it out of this?
Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. That thou mightest still the enemy, and the avenger.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Who else has got a verse for us? Go on, Sister Kathy.
8:6.
Yes.
That the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises.
Somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
Is that our last scripture? Crystal, why don't you read for us?
But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I shall unto you a more excellent way.
A what kind of way?
A more excellent
A what? Okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may not be of us. Say the word excellency one more time.
Excellency.
How many got the Holy Ghost abiding on the inside of you? Amen. Is God good?
Yes. All the time.
Sometimes?
All the time.
God's just good, period, right? And the Lord made heaven and earth and all these things, and he looked at it, and he saw all the things he had made with his hands, and he said, oh, that'll do.
No.
No, what did he say?
It's good.
That'll do. That'll pass.
No.
We can just swing with that.
No.
The Lord looked at the works of his hands and said, behold, it was what?
Good.
And this power that is within us is what? That the excellency may be of the power of God, and not of us.
Amen.
Well, what are you talking about? I'm going to say stronger doses of the Holy Ghost are manifest when we unite with God's call of excellency. So I say excellence. Well, that's what I'm talking about tonight. It's just the spirit of excellence. Do all things and do it right. You just can't throw everything. You just can't slop anything together and expect God to say, hey, there it is. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, spirit of excellence. Look at somebody on the other side and say, God don't bless. No mess. Say it one more time. God don't bless. No mess. So God is dealing with us right now on the spirit of excellence. We've got to overcome some things. And I look around the house. How many know that this is something that God has intended, amen, that this place stand and be here, amen, to do what God wants it to do? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And what God has granted to you, guess what? It's excellent.
Yes.
Yes, it is. What God has given you to go with, it's excellent. The Holy Ghost in you is excellent.
Amen.
The fivefold ministry he's put in your midst, it's excellent. Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God's provision for you, it's excellent.
Yes.
His covenant for you is excellent. So when the Holy Ghost does something, he does it in the spirit of excellence. And that's what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about this house, about Nations Church and about certain things, you know, that we have to uphold ourselves in the spirit of excellence in everything that we do. When we stretch our stuff out there by faith, we need to have our feet follow our faith. How do you have your feet follow your faith? Your feet follow your faith to carry out those things that God has led you to do in a spirit of excellence.
Amen.
And excellence is a spirit. There is a spirit of excellence. There is a spirit of excellence. And a lot of people say, well, why? You can get one person to do something, they'll just do it. You can get your hair cut by one, they'll just slop it up. But then you get somebody else, for some strange reason, there's just a little bit of extra. There's a little bit more oomph to it. Jesus was moved by the Spirit. He was so moved with compassion, he would become moved with compassion. Compassion motivated Jesus. And when compassion motivates you to do something, guess what? You do it with excellence.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, that's why we put bows on the top of gifts. We made a tradition out of the bows on top of the gift, but that was the little extra that made your offering excellent. Excellence. You might not have $1 million to do everything you can that you want to do. We had all the money that we'd want to have. We'd really do it the way we feel that God needs to have it done. We'd really wear it out. And we've worn those pennies just about as far. I mean, I tell you what, whoever's on that penny can't scream any higher. Amen. I mean, we got a vice around that penny. Amen. That boy is, he's about to let go of that note. spirit behind something that does something to it. And the spirit of excellence is sensed. It's called the spirit of excellence that's got it. It's got to flow through the body from top to bottom. It's caught. It's hard to teach this thing, but it's something that's caught. You know, and you can get into a bunch of tradition. You have to catch the spirit of it. I talk to Crystal and Jesse, and we do certain things, and we've had 3 years now, about 3 to 4 years as Nations Church. Hopefully, something would have caught on. Some things caught on, but not everything. And if you're not careful, instead of you flowing in the vein that God has put within your spirit to flow with, you'll flow with just whatever's rolling with around town. And that's not the heart of God.
Amen.
Amen. There's a spirit about myself. Amen. I'm not saying I'm excellent. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But I know the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you can grow weary in doing well if you're not too careful. Amen.
Amen.
And then the Holy Ghost can come and say, hey, you better check this. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can. There's one thing between about being perfectionist versus being in the spirit of excellence. There are a lot of people that are perfectionists. Being a perfectionist not necessarily is, it's not being completely anal retentive. It's not being a gripe. It's more than complaining about everything. And if you're not careful, see, you got to learn how to flow in the spirit of excellence instead of a spirit of control. There are a lot of people that think they have a spirit of excellence. That's not a spirit of excellence. It's just a controlling devil that needs to be cast out. Amen. Because that's why the scripture said that the excellent may be in the power of God and not of us. And we've got to learn that this excellent spirit that God is talking about, hey, it's not something that our mama taught us.
Amen.
We got to be careful about that. See, because we can get that attitude. We're going to do it the East Coast way down here because that's the way to do it right. These Texans don't know what they're talking about. Amen. That's not how you do something. You got to do it this way. And Texans will say the same thing. That's not how you praise God. You got to throw some whoosh-ahs in there. Amen.
Oh, come on, man.
Amen. That's just preference. And if you're not too, if you're, you know, there's just preference. Somebody say this is the English way or this is, that's, you know, this is the way we did it back home. God's not all about that.
Right, amen.
It said that the spirit of excellence would be in the power of God and not of us. So you got to get people to tap into the anointing of excellence. One of the things I learned is that you are not going to get anybody to do anything they don't want to do ever.
That's right.
You can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. You can put their name on the board. Amen. I mean, you can even tell them. Some churches they go to, they say, you do this or you're going right to hell. You can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. They have got to be motivated from the Spirit. Their inner man has got to be changed. There's got to be an anointing on the inside of them to motivate them to do the thing of God. There's nothing worse than people doing stuff that don't want to be doing stuff. You ever met that? You ever, you know, it's like we've learned, we moved. And you ever had to move something? Amen. When people don't want to move stuff. I mean, it makes that dresser three times heavier than it has to be. We didn't have that this time. Somebody say, glory to God. It'll make that TV weigh a 65 pounds instead of 20 pounds because you're not only carrying the weight of the thing you're trying to carry, but you're carrying the weight of that person's spirit and that person's attitude. When you want people to do something, you better tap into the heart of God and pray for the spirit of excellence to manifest itself. How do we develop a spirit of excellence? Well, we preach the word on excellence. We have different things. Somebody said, excellence is a problem around here.
Excellence is a problem.
Somebody said, that's a negative confession. No, that's a reality. Bible says, confess your faults and you shall be healed.
Amen.
But there are a lot of people, amen, the first thing you confess before you confess your big house, you need to confess your dumpy one. Amen. And then go on from there. That's not a lack of faith. That's just calling it like it is. Saying, hey, even though they were saying, this woman, Sarah, considering not her own body, anybody read that, said, reckon herself, she considered not her own body. But when you really study that, she did consider her body. She said, even though my body's old and worn out, she did. They interpreted that wrong. She said, considering her own self, she looked at the circumstance and said, look, I'm all messed up, but if God said it, I'm going to do it anyhow.
Amen.
See, there are a lot of people that can't relate to where they are. They wonder why God won't start something because they have not confessed where they are. So we got to confess that there are certain things that we get out there, amen, and we have to preach these things and preach it to the heart of God and pray that God would bring it back. When we have that, Brother Ralph Joy did that Bible school on excellence. He's been running those tapes. Somebody say amen. Amen. We all come in and wonder how we're going to build a house. How are we going to build a house by the Holy Ghost and see certain things happen and see the church grow and see the church manifest? Amen. Well, how are we going to do this thing? We're going to hear the Word of God and learn. And somebody, if you're not going to be motivated to get up and hear somebody that is motivated talk about motivation, guess what? You're not going to do anything. You don't have a, I mean, you don't, if it takes that much, you got to think about it and then get it. If you had a business that was going under, and you didn't know how to sell insurance, amen, and you were messing up all of your deals, all your files were backed up, nothing was really happening, you weren't getting any clients, if you couldn't sell your product, the way that you wanted to sell your product, first thing, you'd get yourself in a seminar, amen, you'd spend about $600, take this seminar, that seminar, you'd fly all around the country to hear somebody talk about and motivate you how to do what you really want to do. But it's different in the house of God. We don't flow in excellence. Amen. Then when we don't flow in excellence, it's the responsibility of that ministry to equip the saints for effective service. And what more equipping can you give than teaching on that? Amen. Spirit of excellence. And many people think that the spirit of excellence comes by just turning up the heat on the little bit that's doing something. Let them move a little bit quicker. Amen. They're starting late again. Well, I wonder why they're starting late again. Pastor's hair's messed up. I wonder why pastor's hair's messed up. Can't that man think to iron his shirt? Not when he's thinking about doing half the things that you should be doing. Excellence. Say excellence.
Excellence.
There are certain things that in a ministry. You say you want to do a house, you want to do a church, you want to do a ministry. Hey, somebody say this is a corporate. This is a corporate thing. This is a body of Christ. And there are different responsibilities
Amen.
That we all must partake in. And I don't care, guess what? If I was Billy Graham or Kenneth Hagin myself, and I had the anointing of Kenneth Hagin, guess what? That would not be enough to do what God wanted to do because God didn't set it up that way.
Amen.
He put a body out there and that body corporately functions to make this thing happen and make it do what God wants it to do. I don't care if I get a facelift, whatever. None of that stuff is going to change a thing. What's going to change a thing is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is not going to manifest until we start to manifest.
Amen.
And when Jesus manifests, he's going to manifest through the spirit of excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Somebody said, I show you yet a more excellent way. Well, what's the more excellent way? Love.
Amen.
So what's happening? When we don't see excellence flowing, when we don't see the spirit of excellence in motivation, is it the result of lazy folk? No. Is it a result of people that just so caught up into their stuff? Somebody say no. Because there's a more excellent way. And if you're lacking when there's more, amen, you got to find out what you're lacking. Where does excellence come from? Another seminar, it helps. It'll just help you. All those seminars, all that class that this brother's got going with the videotapes got going, all that Jane Rendon comes in and teaches on different things and different ones, you got all that stuff. All that stuff is nothing but something to fine-tune and help you focus your spirit of excellence and put it someplace and put it to some good use. But excellence is nothing but an avenue or an arc or a conductor of your love and motivation. We do this because we love. You got to have a work of love. Paul said, consider, or one of the apostles said, consider our labor of what? Love. He did things a more excellent way. He said, I show you yet a more excellent way, love. If you got a problem being motivated to do the things that God wants you to do, guess what you need to check? You need to check love. Love will make you do things you don't want to do. So say excellence. Anybody ever had a husband or a wife? Come on, anybody ever been there where you had responsibility? And let's say that person went out to work that morning, but before they went out to work, they just said something horrible to you. You went to work, they went to work, and you got home, and it was time to cook that meal. You didn't want to pull out that steak. You wanted to burn something real good and put it on the plate. You wanted to burn it, amen? That's not what you do. That man made me so mad, I'm just going to go bake a cake. No, you're not going to make the extra, you're not going to go the extra mile and make the bed. Wash his own drawers. There are a lot of people, you know, when they first got married, amen. When they first got married, they would clean that house from top to bottom, amen. They would cook that meal. They'd have the apron over, look all good. But when love grown cold, when love grew cold, so did the dust. Excellence comes through love.
Yep.
Excellence comes by love. And churches and ministries and people that love the Lord are going to learn to love others, and they're going to learn to target that love in the spirit of excellence. Even in difficult times. Even when it doesn't make sense. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, this is a wonderful place and you are some wonderful people. I'm going to tell you straight up, and that's not a lie. I get so hot sometimes. But the reality of it is you are good people. You are the best.
Amen.
Amen. And grass is always greener on the other side until you get there. Somebody say amen.
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 But the end, you can get out there. And I get out there. And I say, listen, we've been toiling here and doing this and doing that. Come on now. Excellence is what we will overcome with. Care how rough it gets. I don't care what we're facing. This is the Holy Ghost speaking to us and say, listen, I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how many people are showing up on Wednesday night. I don't care how much you're sold on Sunday night. I don't care what bills are due. That does not prevent you from flowing in the spirit of excellence. And excellence is not what you put on. Excellence is what you are. And we can handle this and we can do this by the Holy Ghost. Excellence goes along with obedience. I will be obedient to the thing you told me to do in the spirit of excellence. And excellence will sharpen you up when you feel dull. And love will motivate you to the spirit of excellence. Love will make you do things you didn't think you wanted to do. Amen. It will sharpen you to the spirit of excellence. And this is something that's got to flow from this body from the top to the bottom. Excellence. Amen. You got to realize that God sees it, even though nobody else sees it. It says, as you do things, do it as unto the Lord. Who, you know, you got to do it for Jesus because he sees every little bit of it.
Amen.
Now, we got some rough mountains to overcome, and we're going to overcome them by faith. We'll go through whatever happens. Hey, we'll go through until God said, don't go through no more. Amen.
Amen.
And he's not going to say it. Amen. He's a God. Amen. He's a God that is always there. But we got to make up in our mind that if we're going to fight, we're going to find out where our arsenal is and where our power is. Amen. It is by the spirit of excellence.
Amen.
The year 2000, we thought it was going to be a glorious year. Boy, was it. Amen.
Amen.
It was a year of pruning. Boy, we worked over and God showed us who we were. And we were expecting to see glory. He put a big mirror up and said, I'll let you see some. I'm going to let you see yourself. So say, amen. Amen. We were looking to change the world and God stuck a mirror up and said, look, you need to change. I wish we could sing that song. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. Said, if you want to make the world a better place, you better look at yourself and make a change. Somebody said, that's the first thing that needs to change is you. And I tell you what, I must have been pretty ugly if he had me looking at myself for a year. So what was 2000? Year of looking at yourself. Amen. And getting it together. But we need to look at these things and we need to look at this next year coming and look at ourselves and say, hey, this is something that we need to overcome, that I need to do something. And if I don't want to do something, the problem is not I need to find something to do. No, please don't find something to do. You find out what your gifting is and what your calling is and you step off in that and you do that thing in the spirit of excellence.
Amen.
And I'm putting this call out to you as a body.
Amen.
I'm putting this call out to you as a body.
Amen.
To check yourself.
Amen.
Find something to do.
Amen.
by the Holy Ghost. If you're not motivated to do something, if nothing's pouring out of you, that means that not enough is getting into you. That's the first problem. That's the first problem. If you're just not, I mean, there's just not a free flow. Amen. If people got to beg you to get up and do something. I mean, if they got to beg you to minister. If they got to beg you. There is a problem there. And the problem is that something's not getting through. And maybe that thing that's not getting through to you that will fill you up to cause you to overflow. Many people say, hey, we're not being fed. Well, maybe you're not eating. I'm pretty fat. I'm pretty fat.
Glory to God.
We want to blame everybody else instead of looking at ourselves. But all of this word that goes on the inside, if that word's received, guess what? It's going to start to flow out of you in some form of ministry or in some form of action. And the worst kind of ministry you'll ever get is someone that feels forced to do anything. Jesus willingly came and did what he was called to do. He delighted to do the will of God. And we don't want anybody to do anything in this house. Anything. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. In this house, if I don't do it, it just won't get done. That's the wrong spirit. This is not going to flow that way.
Amen.
Amen. That's not love. You're going to do those things because the Holy Ghost is motivating you to do those things. We got people out here. This sister right here, Crystal, does the thing that God called her to do. And somebody says, she doesn't do it long enough. I called and couldn't get through. Why do they do the things they do? For a jack-in-the-box meal every day at about 5 o'clock. Or Madeline's on Sunday. Or for that wonderful seat that everybody's fighting for. Why? Somebody say, love. 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 Why? You know, they are motivated. This girl loves me, loves this church, loves this ministry. She's doing what she's done because she loves us, period.
Amen.
This brother's doing what he's doing because he loves me. I love him. So we minister that way. That's what it's all based on. Why am I doing it? For hot Texas? It's that Mercedes Benz out in the parking lot.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, glory. What happened? We do this because we see your face.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Somebody loves you.
Amen.
Somebody loves you. So somebody lays in their life and they flow in the spirit of excellence because they love you. And guess what happens? You need to flow in that same vein. You need to find somebody somewhere,
that's right. Amen.
Somehow,
the chain of love,
and let it flow. And let it flow. And do it. You know what? And when someone's doing something out of love, you can be hard on it and say, glory to God. You can be hard on it and say, listen, if you love that person, glory. I mean, anybody seen a mother feed a baby? I mean, they just got the baby by the neck and threw the baby in their arms and shoved the bottle down their throat and pushed it. Somebody said, that's a sick person. Amen. Mashed the bottle up against their teeth. Somebody made them bloody lips. No, they're going to do it with love. They're going to do that thing with love. No matter, I mean, they'll look at the stinky diaper and say, wow. You know, they'll look at those things. You know, it's not a stinky diaper anymore because they're motivated by love to do those things. It's got to be the same thing for an ancient church. If we're going to do this in the spirit of God, we've got to do it in the spirit of excellence. And there's got to be love, and love will motivate itself. Love will motivate itself. Is this a rebuke? No. This is exhortation.
Amen.
We got up here, you know, and I said, Holy Ghost, what? I looked up there and said, we had that meeting. Look at that curtain. That's a shame. Look at that. That's ministry. That's ministry. That's ministry. See, we don't see those things because we're used to it. But somebody else will come in here, they'll see that, they'll smell the dust. All these little things, somebody say that ministry, God will do specific things to make his stuff just right. Worship can begin before worship starts. Worship can begin before worship starts. I can't. These other things are important things. Excellence. Anybody look at this thing? This is the sickest looking plant I've ever seen just about. I don't care if we fall into that thing 3 Sundays in a row. Spirit of excellence said, put the plant back exactly the way it needs to be. Somebody say spirit of excellence.
Spirit of excellence.
If the place is filled with his glory, it's filled with the spirit of excellence. I mean, if the weight of the glory comes down in the room, guess what? It will also lift up. And as it lifts up, all the little plants will be bent right back into shape again. Somebody say amen. He'll do that by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's not guilt that motivates us to do things. It's a spirit, and people, we got to learn that it's the Holy Ghost. See, if God's telling me to do certain things, there are other things that I hold to be just as important, if not more. Do you know that? Do you know I struggle with that? You know, do you know that I can be just as fulfilled? And I can hear God just as much, amen, if I were in here each week pulling up the chairs, amen, and vacuuming this floor? Do you know we had a stronger dose of the anointing of the Holy Ghost when we did? When Brother Jesse and I cleaned this church, there was a stronger dose of the Holy Ghost in this place, not because we cleaned so well, somebody say amen, but because we were obedient to the Holy Ghost. And we did it with joy. And we did it by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. But we're in a betwixt thing right now because we're led to do, I'm led to do, not him, some other things. Somebody say glory to God. We need to pick up the pace in some other areas with people that are flowing in the spirit of excellence so we can do those things. Judith does flow in this place. She flows in the ministry of helps in here. And it's lovely. But if you want to have a church, somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
A church is not a pastor. Church is not an apostle. A church is not a prophet. Church is not a worship band. A church is the love of God in manifestation on everybody in the house. Nations Church is a unique and very special place, like no place I've ever been in before. And I've been in a lot of places. I'm not saying that because I got this job. Amen. Amen. I'm in awe, amen, to be with the saints that God put us with. This is a unique place. And to whom much is given, much is definitely required. I mean, he's changed hearts. We've seen some miracles on some things. He's changed hearts. He's changed spirits. Glory to God. He's moved in ways that you could never imagine him moving in. We've held the fort down waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God in the Woodlands, Texas. That's where the revival is. We've held down. Different ones have held down in prayer. Amen. You faithful ones. Y'all have done some things. There is no way possible. We're going to talk about this. Amen. 4 minutes. Hallelujah. We're going to talk. There is, first of all, you got to really understand, for you still to be here in this place, that is a miracle. That is a miracle for you to have accomplished what you've accomplished this last year. And there have been several people in this same place. Amen. Stronger graces, stronger anointings that weren't able to pull it off. But somehow you paced yourself. Amen. You didn't go out there and run, take down the world. And that's all right. That's the Holy Ghost. There are different seasons and different times or anything. What you did is you fell in love with each other and we just held on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And somebody say, what did y'all do? We just held on. Don't worry about it. I don't see anything out there. No, we're just holding on to Jesus.
What God was just telling me is that while we're here, we're complacent, we're satisfied.
Preach.
We're good because we've got something good here. We're satisfied with what we are hearing and what we're learning and what we're being filled with here. But he's ready for us to go to that next level. The road there is through excellency. And that's what he's saying. The place that is satisfied.
Preach.
To move on up.
And it'd be nice to stay here. It'd be really nice. It'd be really nice. I mean, y'all, if we could just party down together, it'd be wonderful. I told Crystal and Jesse that. Amen. And we could just party down together with just us here. Somebody say us four, no more. And we can all just wait. And we can all just hang out together, keep bills played. We'll wait for Jesus and we'll be just happy. Amen. So, I mean, wouldn't that be nice?
Right.
Amen. If we just pray, Lord, let one of us hit the lottery or something, do anything, you know, and we'll all just wait for Jesus. But you know what? We'll be in sad shape when he comes. He'll be so upset.
Amen.
We'll be in trouble. We'd be in sin. We'd be here falling on the floor, laughing, dancing, and shouting in sin. What do you mean in sin? Because not fulfilling what God told us to fulfill.
Amen.
There was a time to sit. Amen. There was a time to sit. There's a time to sit back and do certain things. Amen. Somebody say that season's over. Amen. That season's over now. Is a season, amen, that we need to get back on the bandwagon. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We need to get back on the ball and get out there and do what God told us to do. Don't be afraid. Amen. So get involved in those things. And those of you that have your ministries, don't you dare let up on your ministries. Don't get lazy with your ministries. That nursing home, keep that nursing home thing going. Amen. And we need to know what everybody is doing. Amen. So that you know that there are a whole lot of things going on. Amen. That we need to become involved with. Amen. But we need to get busy about God. Amen. Because God's not going to allow us to stay where we are. Amen. God's excited about our future. Amen. So we need to get excited about it and step out in faith and do something about it. And we can do that by flowing in the spirit of excellence.
I feel like we need to have a prayer to bring in those who will fill the needs that we have here.
Amen. That people would come in, workers would come in and do what God wants them to do. And there's always a season, you know. There's always a season. The important thing about workers when workers come in is that they come in and get into the spirit of the ministry.
Amen.
You know, because there are workers everywhere, but not every worker is your worker, you know.
Amen.
When they fit, they'll fit. Glory to God, and that will happen effectively.
Amen.
Well, we're going to do this. Yes.
Can I read something?
Yes, please do.
The Lord put it on my heart when he was talking about the more excellent way is love. And if you want to, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to read this a little differently. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I do not have excellency, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophecies and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have excellency, I am nothing. If I give out all my goods and I deliver my body that I may be burned, but I do not have excellency, I am not profited anything. Excellency has patience. It is kind. Excellency is not envious. Excellency is not vain. It is not puffed up. It does not behave indecently. It does not pursue its own things. It is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Quietly covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Excellency never fails.
That's good. As she was reading and I heard something by the Holy Ghost, and you might want to take this note down and write this, and this is a word to me as well as to you. Do not allow your ministry to exceed your excellence. Yes, brother. Come on. Yes, please do. Isn't that a good word? Don't allow your ministry to exceed your excellence. Or your business or anything. Don't go beyond your excellence. Get him. Here you go, brother.
If we go to,
he's going to turn you on.
If we go to verse 28, and he says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Then he goes on to say, all are not apostles. They mentioned apostles up there. Are they? All are not prophets. Are they? They mentioned prophets. All are not teachers. Are they? It mentioned teachers up there. All are not workers of miracles. It mentioned workers of miracles up there. All do not have gifts of healings, do they? It mentioned gifts of healings. All do not speak with tongues. All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? And that was up there. But earnestly desire the greater gifts. What are the greater gifts? Did you notice that he left out helps and administration?
Preach, brother.
I wonder if that is something significant.
That's good teaching, brother.
I wonder if that's significant. I wonder what the greater gifts are.
Wow.
He mentioned all of the except helps and administrations, and then he says that earnestly desire the greater gifts. I'll let you worry about that.
Wow. That's a good word. Yes, Brother Jesse. I'm loving tonight.
I just wanted to say something real quick. At the meeting last night, she was praying, and she, the woman that was there, and she mentioned something about, you know, more authority and all this stuff. And we want, you know, a lot of times us that are really into the charismatic and spiritual move, we do it because we want to grow spiritually. We want more authority, we want more power. And what was neat, I was back at the sound booth, And the Lord just told me, you get authority from authority. And a lot of times we, lot of times we get things backwards. And he just showed me a real basic example. If I'm unemployed, don't have a job, don't really know anybody, I don't have much authority. I won't have any money. I don't have much power. If I go to McDonald's and get a job working in the drive-thru, I'm then given the authority and the power to feed hundreds and thousands of people. You know, that's a simple authority given to me by coming under the authority of people ahead of me and accepting a responsibility. And then you get to affect many lives with a hamburger. Okay, that's just a simple example. But the same goes in the spirit. And I've said this before, but, you know, especially when we first came into this church, I mean, there are literally times I just felt terrible, and I didn't know what, you know, I didn't feel anointed at all. And Pastor Rod said, you get up here and you do this now. And by obeying that, I didn't have faith for it, but I had the authority because it was given to me from the pastor who I am under. And he gave me the responsibility of, it may be prophesying, it may be praying for somebody, it might be to preach, whatever. I've now, if he gives me the authority, I've got the authority to do that.
Preach.
That came from him, and he got it from someone else that got it, and it all comes from God. You get authority by authority. And we think if we submit ourselves under somebody that we're weakening ourselves. But I'll tell you, one of the first things I started doing was cleaning this place. He mentioned that we used to do a lot more of the cleaning, and thank God for other people. And I imagine those like Judith and Sister Bell and others that have helped do that. Cleaning this place is a little bit different than cleaning your house. There is an anointing, and you can feel it. When you come in here and do that, you're stepping into a spiritual realm of authority to carry out a ministry, and you have a new anointing and a new grace from God to do that. So that's just simple. But and I'll tell you, there are times that I've never felt a greater anointing than some of the times that I've sat here and cleaned a toilet and mopped the floor, vacuumed the carpet. So that's some of the most powerful times I've had has been doing those things. Nothing is more spiritual than another if it's in the body of Christ. You know, if I'm a foot, I'm not going to tell you, if you're a hand, how to be a foot. We all have our own place. But everything is equally important. And the Bible goes into great detail, if you read about the body of Christ, you know, that really the less, seemingly less significant parts are the most important. And we forget that and get things so backwards. But I just wanted to say that because I think it really confirms, and God was speaking to me that the other night. So anyway.
Amen. What are we doing? As they're getting communion together, somebody say, "What? Where are we going? What are we doing?" We're doing what God told us to do. Amen.
Amen.
And communion is very important. Communion is good for a church because it heals a church.